The Fan on Demand. Since I had to sit out a game with laryngitis, the Blue Jays have not lost. The last game the Jays lost was the game that I sat out, so I will take all the credit for this six-game win streak. Since I've been back in the booth, croaking away, six wins in a row. What do you know? 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We'll take some phone calls now, then we'll have 20 update. We're going to let the network go at the top of the hour, but we will keep the Blue Jays talking on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, right up until 11 o'clock Eastern Time. Let's go out to Bowling Green, Kentucky. Start with Michael, who's listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Welcome aboard. You're the leadoff man.
Hey, so how's that bandwagon coming with six in a row? I guess it's looking a little better than it was in April when everybody was trying to jump off, isn't it?
It's certainly starting to get heavy, that's for sure.
I'm a huge baseball fan, and I've been watching baseball a long time, and I always feel like that there are moments when you go back and look at a season, whether it be what turned it around or what caused the thing to kind of spiral out. You know, I remember back in 87, the Jays are up in the ninth inning. Hinkie gives up a home run to Gibson to tie it, and the Detroit winds up winning in extra innings, winds up winning seven in a row, obviously wins the division. You know, I remember seeing that at Alomar's homer in 92, and I really am certain that if we look at the Jays turn us around and we look back to this, that two-strike homer by Bautista in Chicago, if the Jays get back in this, and they're back in it, being five, I always consider five kind of the rearview mirror. The Jays make a run at the playoffs and perhaps even get in the playoffs, I think that two-strike home run may be what we will look at as the turning point. What a big way to win that game. You know, I was there in the park, and there's just such excitement to see that happen. And this team now, you know, hasn't lost since then. You try to take credit for laryngitis, Mike, but I really feel like maybe that we were looking for those moments when the Jays were turning around, and I really feel like that may have been the moment that turns this season around.
You may be right. I mean, I think that there were moments that happened prior to that. There was a four-run ninth inning against the Baltimore Orioles that game where they came back and won. There were a lot of little moments along this recent streak where the Blue Jays have been so good, because it's not just six wins in a row, right? It's 9 of 11 or something.
There have been these little pieces. Yeah, I didn't realize until tonight when I saw the graphic. I mean, this makes them 10-4 in June. Just shows how consistent they've been here. You know,
that's not consistent. That's a lot better than that.
Oh well, yeah. Well, you know what I mean. But this is what I think. This is what everybody expected coming out of spring training, to see a team that played as well. See a team that could score six or seven runs a night and win, but also on nights when they don't score as much, have the pitching there that's able to keep them in the ball game and give them a chance for Meister to do what he did tonight. You know, great defense by Lynn, you know, a great turning point there. And the great thing is we're getting Reyes back in the next 10 days to 2 weeks, maybe sooner. I know he did well tonight. We'll see. We're getting Morrow back. We're going to get Lori back. It's like adding pieces at the deadline to get players of that caliber back. Still got a way to go. We got to get to 500 first, but man, this last week has really got things going the right way for longtime Jays fans and those that are wanting to jump on the bandwagon. Maybe this ride's going to be pretty fun here the rest of the way.
It sure seems that way. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate the call. Yeah, there's lots of room on the bandwagon, but do me a favor this time, if you're going to jump back on, stay on, even if things start to go south a little bit. Unless, I guess, that's fun for you. I know that there are a lot of people who can't wait to be the first ones who say everything was going to go wrong, and then they're the first ones who climb right back on as soon as things start going right. Things are going very right right now. As the caller, Michael, just said, the Blue Jays are 10-4 in the month of June. They've won six in a row, and June has tended to be the month in which the Blue Jays' postseason hopes have taken a huge hit the last, I don't know, decade or so. June swoon, We remember hearing that on a regular basis. And people used to call in at the end of May to talk about that it was going to happen. And I dismissed it, but it generally did. They're above 500 in interleague play. They're 7-5 against the National League. It's very un-Blue Jay-ic. Six-game win streak, also very un-Blue Jay-ic. Lots of good things are happening right now. And again, Jose Reyes is coming back. Brandon Morrow's coming back. Eventually, Brett Laurie's coming back. Josh Johnson appears to be in fine form. Thank you very much, with a great outing today. Phone lines are open. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance 1-888-666-0590. We will take more of your phone calls on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on sportsnet590.ca, on your Rogers radio app, on Rogers Digital Cable Channel 904. All those ways to reach us if you can no longer hear us on the radio, because we're going to let the network go at the top of the hour. Blue Jays blank the Rockies. It is the Honda Post Game Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, a terrific evening for the Toronto Blue Jays. They beat the Colorado Rockies 2-0. The Blue Jays get a win in interleague in a game in which the opposing starter throws seven innings of one-hit shutout. There's another sign things are starting to turn around for your Blue Jays. 2-0, the Jays beat the Rockies as Brett Cecil stretches his streak to 25 consecutive batters retired and then issues an intentional walk to end his shot at a virtual combined perfect game. He is, however, one out away from a virtual combined no-hitter. American League action going on right now. The Kansas City Royals lead the Cleveland Indians 2-1. They're in the bottom of the ninth trying to put it away. The Texas Rangers, with the Blue Jays having left town, have found their bats. Rangers scored a total of 4 runs in that 4-game series when the Blue Jays visited. They lead Oakland 7-6 right now as they play in the top of the 6th. Nelson Cruz has homered twice. Give him 18. A.J. Pierzynski has gone deep as well. Finals, the Detroit Tigers beat Baltimore 5-1. Max Scherzer is the first Tiger ever to begin a season 10-0. The Houston Astros, trying to sweep away the White Sox, have a 2-0 lead in the bottom of the 5th. Over in the National League, the Cubs and Cardinals had to wait out a rain delay of just over 2 hours, but they're underway. It's 0-0 in the bottom of the 3rd. Top of the 9th, Phillies trying to finish off the Washington Nationals. They lead it 4-3. Pittsburgh is at Cincinnati and trailing 4-1. Reds on top. That one is in the 9th. Miami at Arizona, 0-0 in the bottom of the 1st. And the Mets and Braves still waiting out the rains. They are about to get going. It'll be a 3-hour rain delay when all is said and done. Blue Jays and Rockies continue this series tomorrow night. Esmiel Rogers against Jeff Francis of North Delta, BC. We're on at 7 Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Dirk Hayhurst, Tom Young, Dan Riccio, and Gord Brunt, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center.
And the 1-2 pitch, swing and a miss. He struck out another one. That's 10. Ball rooted out of the dirt by Aaron Sebia. Throws a blur down to Adams. That makes it official. And 10 Ks. It looks like that blister's pretty good. Thank you. Got a couple of extra days in Texas.
And he needed them. The Blue Jays did not want to risk Josh Johnson in the humidity in Texas. Get that blister acting up on him. And you know what? It worked. They won all 4 games in Texas. He was brilliant tonight, even though he doesn't get the win. It's a huge part of it as the Blue Jays beat the Colorado Rockies 2-0. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's start with Carlos in Richmond Hill. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. People are quick, I think, to point out when we make mistakes on the base path, because we've done that a few times. One thing I think tonight kind of went unnoticed, but we may have needed that second run. I thought Colby did a great job of reading that pop-up and realizing it was going to drop in and scoring on it.
Yeah, that was an exceptional read by Colby Rasmus. The infield's in, and Meister Asturias just hit this little kind of blooper. If the infield had been playing at normal depth, there's a shot that the shortstop catches it. Enough of a shot, at least, that Rasmus can't go nearly as hard as he did. But he knew the deal. He saw where everybody was, and he made a perfect read.
Yeah, and as I said, we may have needed that run. One question I have for you is, I'm a big Gibby fan. A lot of people have been on him all season. I've always been a big fan of his this year. I think he does a fantastic job managing the bullpen, as we saw again tonight, utilizing Cecil at the right time. I don't, even though it worked, I've been watching baseball for 30 years, not bunting. I know if JP tried on the first pitch, on the TV broadcast, it looked like he might have missed a sign, but Bonifacio's a National League player. Kawasaki seems to have decent bat control. I don't know what their bunting statistics are, but
Bonifacio's been just a horrible bunter this year.
Okay, fair enough. But first and second, nobody out, bottom of the eighth, you got your top-notch closer in the bullpen. Even though it worked, again, grasping at straws here, the team's playing fantastic. And as I said, I'm not a Gibby hater. I think the bullpen is his strength. Does Gibby, or does JP kind of losing it much earlier in the season when he was pinch hit for?
Last year.
That has no bearing, I'm hoping.
No. No, John Gibbons isn't even aware that happened.
Okay, so even though it worked, and as I said on the broadcast, it almost looked like JP might have missed a sign because Gibby went over to talk to him as he came into the dugout, but what do you think there? It worked, as I said, it almost worked out like a swinging bunt or something and got the job done, but if JP gets a little bit better wood on that, that's a double play.
Yeah, and I think those are the risks you live with. The thing is, if you pinch hit Kawasaki in that situation, you're telling the whole world that you're bunting, and that can make life that much more difficult. And granted, it's going to be difficult
to throw out
Rajay Davis going to third.
The reliever faked the throw to second, and JP bared around to bunt anyway. So I think the defense...
Well, yeah, JP was up to bunt, but I mean only on one pitch, and
right.
He didn't get it down. I don't know. I hate the bunt as a general rule. I don't like the double play more than I don't like the bunt, but I'm not a big fan of giving up outs. In that situation, it's not a terrible idea. But, yeah, if I think you have to pinch hit there in order to get someone who you're sure is going to be able to get the bunt down. And again, right. That kind of gives it away, so you lose a little bit of your the surprise element in there.
Okay, just an in-game strategy kind of comment. One other last point is, if we do ever get to meaningful games in July and August and September, Rajay Davis in close games in the late innings, the guy is unbelievably valuable. I mean, this is the second game now. He won that game in extra innings, I would say, where once you get him on base, he's like Ricky Henderson in a close game.
He's amazing to watch, and it would be great if they could use him for the purpose that he's intended to be used. And that didn't happen today because he started against a lefty. And
right.
It's not going to happen on a regular basis because he's got to play defense for Melky Cabrera late in games. But you have Bonifacio as well, and either one of them could be that guy late in the game to be a huge, huge weapon.
Bonifacio maybe might be a faster runner, but Davis he reads pitchers, he gets his foot off the grass.
Bonifacio is a fantastic base dealer. Don't sell him short.
Okay, but I just think, I mean, if we can dare to dream, even though we're still at the bottom with this hot winning streak, but, I mean, I just think in close games, if we get there, Davis is going to be an invaluable member of the 24-man roster.
25, but yeah, and I think both of them... both of those guys will be hopefully utilized in the best possible manner because they are fantastic weapons. Thanks for the call, Carlos. Before we get to the next call, instead of trying to guess what John Gibbons was thinking, why don't we hear what John Gibbons was thinking? Here's what the skipper had to say after the game.
Gibby, can you talk a little bit about what Josh's outing meant to you tonight?
Kenny, great outing. It really was. You know, I mean, you look at, since he's been back, two out of the three have been dominating performances. A game in San Francisco, of course, when he came up with a blister, but this is the first one back since then. You know, he had everything going on. Good fastball, good live fastball. Ball had a lot of jump on it, and a good breaking ball. And, you know, he was attacking pretty good. You know, he got out of that big jam early. And he needed that. I mean, you know, he's looking to bounce back and contribute. And I think he felt really good tonight.
Gibby, was Cecil your automatic in that situation, the eighth, to face Carlos Gonzalez?
Yeah, I mean, he's pitching as good as anybody down there. You know, he's dominating left-handed hitters. And so when Gonzalez comes to the plate, you know, one of the premier run producers in the game, yeah, that was a no-brainer to me. You know, of course, then he gets Helton too, you know. So, yeah, he's on a nice little roll himself.
Can you talk about the game Estorres had?
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, he's showing more range in the field. He made a couple nice plays, you know, in that big hit. You know, he didn't hit it hard, but he dunked it in the perfect spot, and a nice read at second base by Rasmus there. He's starting to settle in a little bit. You know, I think like I said earlier in the day, I don't know who I was talking to, you know, new guy, new place, whether it's trade, free agents, not uncommon for guys to press and try to, you know, whatever it is. And I think he's settling in, feels comfortable now, he's part of the team. And, you know, he's had a nice career. You know, he's always been a productive and whatever, you know, I mean, just the way he's playing now is what he's done his whole career. But I definitely see him. He looks a little more relaxed and settling in.
Would you attribute some of the gains he's made defensively to him becoming more comfortable or getting a better read on how to field on the turf?
You know, maybe. I don't know. It could be. But, you know, I mean, he's been playing this league a long time, you know. And he's been a steady infielder. Out in Anaheim, they played him everywhere. I mean, that could be something. You know, different speed of the ball, different bounce. That could be it. But, like I said, he's always been a good, solid player.
So there he is, John Gibbons talking Josh Johnson, talking Mice Estorres at the end there. Did not talk about that bunt situation with J.Pierre and Sebia, so we can't know what he was thinking. Blue Jays beat the Rockies 2-0. Back to the phones. George in Markham, you're on the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Mr. Wilner.
Mr. George.
Greetings, sir. How you doing?
All right, thank you.
It is so much more fun to talk about this team when they're doing stuff like this, is it not?
It's always fun to talk about this team.
Yeah, more fun now. Come on. Pitching outing like that from Josh Johnson, you got a bunch of veteran pitchers that are, you know, out of spring training and starting to figure it out. You got an unexpected bat in Adam Lind, who everybody's been cheering for years to get back on track. It's fantastic. However, and here's where we're going to argue, sir. I wonder, and hear me out before you kill me, I wonder if any of this has to do with Brett Laurie being away from the team for a bit.
Why would you think that any of this has to do with Brett Laurie being away from the team for a bit?
Well, and don't get me wrong. I love Brett Laurie. I love his athleticism. I love his passion for the game. However,
implying that they are.
I am.
They can't win with him.
Not with him hitting a .182. And I wonder. I just wonder if he came into camp this year with all the changes, figuring he had to really show up and do something and put so much pressure on himself that he literally played himself, you know. Now, I know he's hurt. I know he hurt himself, but when he wasn't playing that well. And I just wonder if that kind of presence on the team put a lot of edge around the guys and made it hard for people to relax while this was going on, because they seemed to have found something. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know.
Well, but he was here for the first 3 weeks of the finding something.
Pardon me?
He was here for the first 3 weeks of this team turning things around and starting to play better.
Yeah, starting to, but not like it is now.
But this is not, I mean, you know, this is not sustainable. They're not going to win 10 out of every 14, they're not, or 9 out of every 11, or whatever. You know, the Blue Jays, since May 4th, have the best record in the American League East.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett Laurie didn't get hurt till May 28th.
Yep, fair enough.
So there was a long time he was around and they were playing well.
They were playing better, no doubt, not as well as they are now. And you know, and don't get me wrong, I think there's going to be a time for Brett Lurie again. Like, they're going to need him if they're going to make any kind of run. And I love the player that he is, but I do hope that when he gets back that, you know, they sit him down and have a talk and just try and get him to let the game come to him a bit and listen, you know, listen to his veteran leadership. There's got a lot of older guys on that team now that know how to just kind of take things in stride. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not blaming Brett Lurie. I think he's a hell of a player.
Except that you're saying that you're not blaming him, but you're suggesting that his absence is contributing to this.
That they can relax a bit more, you know, with Brett kind of sitting back and just watching things. I think it might be a good time for them right now, and I think it may teach Brett a little bit about, you know, these guys can do it without him, that he needs to be part of the system.
Yeah, I don't think he doesn't think he's part of the system. I think the Blue Jays are a better team with Brett Lurie.
Oh, I agree. Totally.
Therefore, no, I don't think they're playing well because he's not here. I mean, there haven't been any Bears around either. Right? Is that why, you know? I'm glad you appreciate that.
I do, man. That's good stuff.
All right. Thank you very much,
George. Take care. Have a good one.
Appreciate the call. You're not the first person who's suggested it. Somebody called in yesterday and said it's because Brett Lurie's not around that the Blue Jays are on a win streak. The Blue Jays are a better team with Brett Lurie than without. Ryan and Markham, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike. Amazing what happens when you get a little bit of starting pitching, eh?
No kidding.
You know, so the funny thing is, I wanted to call a little over a week ago because I was going to call in and say how I was losing a little bit of hope for the season, not so much because I didn't think the Jays could, you know, turn it around and play better, but at the time, both wild card teams were on pace to win like 95-plus games.
And that doesn't mean anything.
No, wait, don't worry. Wait. I'm just saying, like, the wild card teams were playing, like, really well. So it's like, you know, we didn't expect that to happen this year just because of the parity. So I was a little concerned about that. But the cool thing is, since then, and, oh, yeah, the reason why I didn't get the call in is because the Jays decided to play an extra 9 innings that day, so I couldn't call in.
Fair enough.
But since then, they're playing amazing, and some of those teams are starting to come back to earth as well, which is, I find, really encouraging.
It's way too early to look at any of those things. It really is. I mean,
I don't know. I think
pace changes and things change. You look at a week ago, the Blue Jays, and that's why when people were calling in May saying, oh, they've got to go with this to finish with this many wins and at this pace and this whatever, but now they've won 9 out of 11 and all those numbers change. So, you know, you can't look and see how other teams are doing in the middle of June and try to extrapolate that into what it's going to be like in September. You just can't. It's not hockey where... In hockey, if you fall behind too many teams, you're screwed because it doesn't matter how close you are if you have a bunch of teams to pass. But in hockey, teams lose and get points every night. And baseball doesn't work that way. So you don't have to worry about it from that perspective.
Right. Well, just a couple other quick things. Your producer asked me if I thought Josh Johnson could sustain strong pitching. And, you know, if anything... when you see all the starters sort of pitching well like this, maybe, you know, they can feed off each other, you know, and push each other. And I see that as a positive sign and sort of a segue to that. Ricky Romero's had a couple encouraging starts,
yep,
in Buffalo. Now, you know, the starting pitching seems to be coming around, and I know the Jays would probably want to be cautious with Romero, and I know you don't like to prognosticate, so I'll ask it in this way. For how long and how well would Romero have to pitch before the Jays would even consider bringing him back? I mean, with the assumption that you know, the whole starting staff doesn't get injured again kind of thing. Cause,
yeah,
you know,
I don't think it needs to be a long, sustained period of success. I don't think, you know, he needs to go out and have 8 great starts in a row or anything like that before they'll consider bringing him back. I think he needs to be pitching well, and they need to have an opening in order for Romero to come back. At this point, I think that's all there is to it. He needs to be going well. They need to have a need for a starting pitcher, and then they'll call him up. I don't know when that's going to be, obviously. Who knows? A guy could get hurt tomorrow, or a guy could not get hurt for 3 weeks. But Brandon Morrow's coming back, and Jay Happ's starting to throw again. So there may be a long time before there's an opening, but if he continues to pitch well, he'll put himself in position to take it.
It's amazing how a baseball season, you know, like, it's so long, and, like, at the beginning of the year, it's like we've got all this starting depth, and then it's like a month in, we're desperate for starters, we're signing Chen-Ming Wong and all that, and then it's like possible that within the next, you know, 4 weeks or so, we couldn't end up with all this depth again.
Yeah, and that's one good reason not to look at a 2-3 or even a 6-week snippet of a season and decide on what you have. Things change very rapidly, and there are massive ups and downs. Thank you for the call, Ryan. Appreciate it. Phone lines are still open. We got 2 more segments of the Blue Jays talk for you at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays beat the Rockies. I'll let Andrew Nye tell you about it. It's the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
So here we go. They're on their feet at the Rogers Center in the 8th inning. The stretch. The 2-2 pitch, a curve, hit on the ground out to second. Charge by DeRosa. Throw it on to first. The inning is over. What a job again by Brett Cecil, who waits for Adam Lind.
Because Lind made a great play on a line drive hit by Carlos Gonzalez earlier in the inning. Brett Cecil faces 3 hitters, retires 2, has to issue an intentional walk to the other, which ruined his chance at a virtual combined perfect game. But he still is now just 1 out away from a virtual combined no-hitter. Great job by Brett Cecil. Great job by all the Blue Jays pitchers today. In a 2-0 win over the Colorado Rockies. I'm Mike Wilner, and this is the Blue Jays Talk, and we're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays, with this win, have a 6-game win streak for the first time ever under John Gibbons. And they're 10-4 in the month of June, and that is, as we say, not insignificant. Because the Blue Jays, in the last 10 years, have only won more than 12 games in June 3 times. And it's June 17th, and they're 10-4. Very impressive third month of the season so far for your Toronto Blue Jays. Back to the phones we go. Let's go up to St. Mary's. Down to St. Mary's? I guess down to St. Mary's. Tom, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hello, Mike. I'm not in St. Mary's. I'm driving from Windsor to St. Mary's, but listening to you guys sure makes the drive go by a lot easier.
Oh, thank you.
I would like to make a couple comments, and you can agree to disagree, and then ask you a question.
You're anticipating already that I'm going to disagree with you. All right.
No, not necessarily. No, I think I don't like the people who criticize where the Jays are at or were at before this nice little run. I don't think it's fair, unless they were critical way back when Alex had that terrific couple of weeks. Back then, I would have made every move he made, except John Gibbons. I would have made every move he made on any day that ends in Y. So it's not fair to criticize now, because it hasn't been working out. Second comment, some of the best moves are the moves that you didn't make, and I would not have had the patience with Adam Lind or Brett Cecil, and I want to pay a compliment to Alex or whoever ultimately is responsible for hanging on to those guys, because they sure are producing right now. And my final one is a question to you, sir. you're around that place. I'd like to know what the front office is like when the Jays have won five, now six in a row. What's the atmosphere? Do you notice the differences? Are the clubhouse guys happier? Is the accounting department happier? I'd just like to know on the inside what it's like there.
Well, I don't exactly hang around with the accountants and the ticket people and all of that stuff. I mean, down on the field, of course, they're much happier. It's a lot more fun to come to the ballpark when you're winning. People are excited to be here. They can't wait to get here. Those sorts of things. The front office is very even keel, though. I mean, as far as Alex Anthopoulos and his lieutenants go, they're very, very, you know, they try to keep emotion out of it and not get too high and not get too low. You don't want to, you really don't want to get to the point where you're going to make rash decisions based on the emotion of a moment, whether it's good or bad. As far as the front office is concerned, they're wise to play it that way. But everybody else, sure, everybody's having a great time when they're winning ball games. Thanks, Tom.
We'll enjoy it while it lasts.
Well, let's see how long it lasts. Win streaks never last that long, but hopefully the days of 10-21 are well in the rearview mirror here for this ball club. They have now won 6 in a row, 9 of 11, 10 of 14. They beat the Colorado Rockies 2-0 tonight to begin this 6-game homestand. Two more with the Rocks, then a day off, then 10 straight with the AL East. Thank you for the call, Tom. Let's go to Curtis, who is in Concord. Curtis, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Thank you. Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
All right,
thanks. I just want to congratulate the Blue Jays. I've been a big Blue Jays fan for a long time. I grew up in Vancouver, huge fan since grade 3, very proud of them. I'd just like to know your thoughts on what's going on with them.
I think they're playing really well right now.
Do you think it dates back to that Jose Bautista at bat there in Chicago there?
No, the winning streak does.
There? Yeah.
The winning streak certainly does. I mean, that was...
Kind of like a TSN turning point. You know what I mean?
Well, we don't like to talk about that here.
Yeah, I know. Of course not.
But the thing is, they had been playing really, really well way before Jose Bautista hit that home run.
Yeah, I know. And I've always followed the Blue Jays for a long time. I've always support them no matter what, no matter how many times they've lost and whatnot. And even tonight, listening to your show, there's still people hating. You know, there's still people saying, you know, this pitcher should do that. You know, the guy a couple times before talking about Ricky Romero. Like, Ricky Romero is a thing of the past. Get used to it.
Well, hopefully not. I mean, the Blue Jays owe Ricky Romero a lot of money over the next few years, and he was not far removed from being a great pitcher. So hopefully he's far from a thing of the past. But I don't think that caller was hating on Romero by any means.
Oh, it kind of seemed like he was. Asking
when he was going to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. As to, like, Brett Laurie, what are your thoughts on Brett Laurie? I'm a huge fan of Brett Laurie because I played junior bantam football in Langley, B.C. for the Langley Outlaws, and I'm a huge fan of Brett Laurie.
Very cool.
Yeah.
My thoughts on Brett Laurie are the same as they were a couple of callers ago. The guy who was suggesting that the Blue Jays should sit him down and not be quick to have him back because they're winning now without him and that's one of the reasons they're winning. I think the Blue Jays are a better team with Brett Laurie. I think I'm astounded at how many people are willing to cut bait on Brett Laurie based on, 30 games or however many he's played this season and are willing to completely forget the year and a quarter that occurred before. But I guess I got to stop being surprised at that because that seems to be the way a lot of people operate. Only what's right in front of you is the only thing that matters. And by the way, as far as Adam Lind goes, I have to say, Adam Lind's OPS today was 0 for 3, but even going into today, before his 0 for 3 today, Adam Lind's OPS is lower than it was on June 17th of 2011. So for all the people saying that Adam Lind is great now and he's been terrible for the last 4 years, just be advised that on June 17th of 2011, which is one of those lost in the wilderness years for Adam Lind, according to so many, he had an OPS of over 1,000 for the season at that point. So this is not entirely new either from him. We have a couple of phone lines open. We have some tape we're going to get to, but we encourage the calls, especially since I'm starting to get even more hoarse right now. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's listen in on what Josh Johnson had to say after the game. Johnson goes 7 1/3 innings, a 5-hit shutout, ties a career high with 10 strikeouts, doesn't get the win, but easily his best performance as a Blue Jay.
Just aggressive, a lot more aggressive than last outing, and just trying to pound the zone, throw my slider, throw my curveball, you know, kind of both sides of the plate, mostly in on the lefties, but, you know, worked out.
Josh, can you take us through the two big strikeouts to get you out of that first and third jam in the second?
Just made pitches, you know, that's the name of the game, is making pitches whenever you need to, and you know, I could feel it whenever that first inning, you know, it was just... Just letting it go and not trying to force my slider to move. I was just all right, trusting it and letting it go.
With Sir Flair up at all, was there an issue at all?
Nope, no issue.
Josh, you're in your pending free agents, and the start of the season didn't go as you would have liked. I mean, is this the kind of start that you were hoping to come out of the gate with?
Always. I mean, it'd always be nice to go 7 2/3 and punch out 10, but and give up none. But you know, it is what it is. That. Beginning of the year, but you know, now we're winning. That's the fun part and the key thing. That's you know, you win games, and that's all that everything else take care of itself. Not to worry about anything else.
Josh, can you describe the challenge in, you know, you come out of spring training, you're feeling good, you like where you're at, you go through all these different stops and starts, and to where you're at now in terms of how are you finding yourself in terms of your time and your rhythm, all those kind of things?
A little frustrating. Everything was a little bit off. You know, in the spring, everything was clicking. It was right there where I wanted to be. If I could just ride that out for the whole season, that'd been nice. But that's baseball. Baseball, sometimes you gotta get thrown a curveball, I guess, and you gotta find a way to make it work and go out there and just be out there pitching. That's the main thing.
Since the regular season started, this last stretch, is this the most comfortable you've been in the regular season? Or would you say that coming out of spring training, you've been okay, you were in a similar kind of spot?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the most comfortable I've been. Just being able to get extension on all my pitches, not having to worry about tricep or anything like that. So it's definitely nice.
Josh, how integral has Brett Cecil been to what you guys have back there?
He's been unbelievable. Not just against lefties either, righties. That's one of the best curveballs. I mean, it's hard, just go straight down, and he throws it for strikes, just like he did against Helton. You know, like make 2-1, throw him a curveball, and perfect pitch. So he's been huge. The whole bullpen's been amazing. So,
yeah, it has. Yeah, it has. Josh Johnson, today's starting pitcher for the Blue Jays, not winning pitcher. 7 1/3 shutout innings, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 10 strikeouts. He was tremendous, but the Blue Jays did not score for him. They did score in the bottom of the eighth and pulled out a 2-0 win over the Colorado Rockies. Josh Johnson, by the way, will be on Baseball Central tomorrow with Dirk Hayhurst and Jeff Blair at 11:40 Eastern Time, so make sure you tune in and you can listen to even more Josh Johnson. Ruth in Toronto, you're up next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Good evening, Mike. You can spare your voice. I'll chat away because I'll speak to the fans if you like.
Go ahead.
I love the Blue Jays. I love baseball as a sport, and I love the Blue Jays. In fact, I used to go to the games and ring a bell for George Bell, and people used to call me Miss Blue Jay. I've always loved them. The difference, it would seem, between me and a lot of people calling in is that I love each game in and of itself for what it is. And sure, down the road, maybe we'll be a wild card, maybe we'll be in the playoffs, maybe we will, maybe we won't, but I love the journey. The destination is whatever, but I love the journey, and I wish the rest of fans would sort of get into that mindset of just appreciating each game for what it is. And another thing about the I love about the Blue Jays is they have always been a very classy organization. I believe Mr. and Dropolis is a very classy guy, from what I observe. I think it's a very classy organization, and it's for that reason that it was always their way that when somebody went off injured, they always got their job back. That'll be the same for Mr. Lurie, and I hope so. He's a young man who needs to learn to temper his passion with professionalism, and he will, with guidance. It'll be the same thing with Mr. Reyes, although I love Munenori. I just think he's terrific, and I would, and right or wrong, I would give him some of the credit for the turnaround of the team, because I think he's infectious, and I can't believe that a person works hard and has a really wonderful attitude and the fans buy into it without it making an impression on the rest of the team. But and as far as Lind is concerned, Lind is a wonderful player. He's been a wonderful player. He's had some slow spots, as have a lot of people, but I don't know people who talk about him not being good in years gone by. He's always been wonderful, and I'm really glad he's part of the team. And like I said, he's had a few down times, but they all do. They all have. I mean, Colby Rasmus had a slow bit there, but gosh, he's on fire. And and Aaron Seavey and all these chaps. And it's just wonderful to listen. It's wonderful to listen to all you fellas commentate. I don't have the privilege of watching it on TV for physical reasons, but I love to listen, and it comes alive for me. Keep up the good work, Mike, and the Blue Jays will do whatever they do, and I'm just going to be there rooting them on all the way.
Thank you, Ruth. Appreciate the call, and that's a good attitude to have. They are going to do whatever they're going to do, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch if people allow it to be fun to watch. Right now, it's awfully fun. They have won 6 in a row, 9 of 11, 10 of 14. They beat the Colorado Rockies 2-0. We will have one more segment of the Blue Jays talk for you on the other side of Andrew Nye's next update. It is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Stretch, 2-2 pitch. Ground ball out to second. Taken by DeRosa. Go to second one. Back to first. Call it two. Ball game. The Blue Jays win it 2-0, a shutout over Colorado.
And a sixth straight win, 10-4 in the month of June. The Blue Jays have had only two winning Junes in the last 10 years. They're 7-5 in interleague play so far this year. They have still never lost here at Rogers Center to the Colorado Rockies. Things seem to be looking up. Team is 3 games under 500, with apologies to so many who called in a month ago dying to have me admit that the season is over and it's time to start selling off. This is the Blue Jays Talk. One more segment, taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. And no, I'm still not prepared to admit that the Blue Jays have won the bidding on you, Darvish. Chris in Toronto, you're going to be up next on the Blue Jays Talk. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. The main thing I wanted to say was an observation about Brett Lurie, and it really, my view of him is much more along the lines of yours. I think what speaks to the value of Brett Lurie is the fact that on his return to the team after his initial injury, the team picked up considerably, despite the fact that he wasn't hitting very well. His defense and his spirit, I think, really contributed to the team, and it showed.
I don't think that happened immediately, though.
It did come around.
Well, yeah, but when I thought, if I remember correctly, that they were something like 6-7 when he came back. And if that's the case, then they really went into a trough pretty much as soon as he returned. And I'm looking here, and the Blue Jays over Brett Lurie's first 18 games, that coincided with their 4-14 run, Brett Lurie's return. So I don't think I can accept that point from you.
Okay, well, fair enough. The other observation I had is that I, you know, the incident over Lind not running home, I tended to think that that was overblown. I thought it mattered that, you know, that he did it, but I thought it was really all addressed properly in the dugout when Gibby took him on and then Jose had something to say, and I was amazed at all the fallout after that.
Well, people like to talk about stuff, but I do think that that was something that was worth talking about. You're right, it was handled completely properly, first by John Gibbons and then by Jose Bautista, but that's still something you really don't ever want to see.
No, and particularly surprising that it was directed at Lynn, where...
Well, it was less directed at Lynn than it was at the situation, and I don't think it would have mattered who was at third base. The same, Lori would have had the same reaction.
And I agree with that. It's just my impression, and tell me if I'm wrong, is that there seems to be a strong relationship between Laurie and Lind. Particularly last season, I felt there were a lot of times when you would see them chatting together in the dugout.
I don't know. And you know what the truth is? You guys out there see what happens in the dugout during a game a lot more than I do. I don't have that view. I don't have those camera shots. I'm looking at the field, and so there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the dugout that fans out there watching on TV see that I don't, unless it's pretty big and eventually see a replay. So I don't know. I mean, I assume they like each other, and most of the Blue Jays are friendly towards each other. I don't know if there's any special relationship between those two, but as far as Brett Laurie goes, again, I think the bottom line is that the Blue Jays are a better team when he plays. Period.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I'd agree with that. And, you know, it'd be great to see him back at third, although it's been interesting to watch other guys step up and give us some quality defense at third in the last several games, especially.
There has definitely been, I mean, third base for the Blue Jays without Brett Laurie this time around has been completely different and much, much better than third base for the Blue Jays without Brett Laurie those first couple of weeks of the season when it was just a horror show out there.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a while. I mean, he's still barely out of that walking boot. It's going to be a while till we see Brett Laurie back in the Blue Jays lineup. He's going to be another one of those trade deadline acquisition-y type players that will help this team, hopefully, when it's already in a race. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Robert in Scarborough. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Mike.
Go right
Hello?
Ahead. Yeah, you're on the radio and stuff.
Oh, hey. I'm so glad the Jays are doing good, but I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, what I'm trying to say is that they're not going to pull a Bobby Thompson shot heard around the world.
They don't need to pull a Bobby Thompson shot heard around the world to make the playoffs. I mean, you're talking about a season that still has 93 games left in it, and they're, what, 4.5 games right now out of a playoff spot? So there's no need for a miracle.
What do you think about Adam Lynn and Encarnacion? They're at their most best. Trade them now and get prospects.
Because?
Because we're not going to do it this year.
And so they're finished after this year?
No. Adam Lynn is hitting 350. Is
right.
he a 350 hitter? Is he a career 350 hitter?
No. You think other general managers are going to think that he's a 350 hitter? Think you're going to get the value of a 350 hitter right now in the trade market for Adam Lind?
That's for you to say, because you know more about baseball than me.
Well, no. I mean, if you know that he's not a real 350 hitter, don't you think that someone maybe who makes their living in baseball might realize that too?
So, do you think the Jays have a chance to still win the World Series?
Absolutely.
Okay,
they're
great.
5 games out of a playoff spot with 93 games left in the season.
Yeah. You ever see that? Bobby Thompson? The Giants win the pennant? That was amazing.
I wasn't around in 1951. I'm sorry. I've heard of it.
Yeah.
But again, that was something that required a miracle. There are a lot of situations that will require a miracle. If the Blue Jays are 5 games out of a playoff spot with 6 games left in the season, then you can start talking about Bobby Thompson and you can start talking about, you know, the biggest collapses of all time and stuff like that. But there are 93 games left, and they're 5 games out. No miracles necessary. Rick in Port Perry. You're going to be next,
Mike,
on the Blue Jays Talk.
Good evening, Mike. How are you?
Doing all right.
I've got a couple of things I just wanted to mention. One is that Jays have passed the million mark in attendance already, and are on pace for close to 2.5 million.
That's it, huh? I was kind of hoping they'd get three.
Well, so far, but my point is they haven't had that since the late 90s. They had close to that about 5 years ago or so, but they haven't been over 2.4 since about 98.
And they're counting things differently now than they were in the Paul Godfrey era, so...
I did not know that.
Yeah, these are much much more reliable numbers.
Okay. Well, my point is, I think that the promise that was made that if the fans do their share, the Jays will do their share. The fans have come through. I like the way things are working, and I see those numbers even going up. So I'm glad that the fans have done their share in showing up. There's still hockey on right now, and we're not getting into the real great numbers if we have a competitive team. So we could get up to over 3 million.
Right. If they keep winning.
For the first time, actually, they haven't been at 3 million since they last won the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to the
really,
fans.
Really, in 94 they didn't have 3 million? That would surprise me.
They had 94. Actually, I've got the stats right in front of me. 94 they had 2.9.
Oh, all right.
So anyway, the second thing I wanted to say is if the Jays continue with the clip that they've been at since early May, which is about the equivalent of where Boston is right now, a 590-ish clip, they're going to end up between 88 and 90 wins, which might not get them to the playoffs. But they also have not had more than 88 wins since they won the World Series. So if they hit 88 or 89, don't make it, do we consider this season a success?
No, I don't think so. I hate to get into these deep hypotheticals, but I think the only way you consider this team a success, this season a success, is if this team makes the playoffs. It could be a good season and have them fall short. It can be a wonderful recovery, especially with the hole they dug themselves over the first month of the season. But no, this was a team that was set up to make the playoffs. And therefore, I think that the only way you can call this season a success is if they do make it.
Fair enough. I think, personally, I think that if they do get to 88 to 90 wins, if they fall short, that means a huge recovery. The hole was just unbelievable.
Yeah, but they dug the hole. It was,
yes,
you know, it was
did.
Their own fault.
That is true.
Right. You got to count that, too.
You do. So, anyway, thank you for your time.
All right. I appreciate the call. Let's get one more on. We'll go out east. Johnny is in Antigonish, listening on Sportsnet590.ca. You're going to be the last one. Make it good.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
All right.
I don't want to dwell on anything negative, but I will shoot for the positive. So what I love to see is John Gibbons is doing a wonderful job managing his team and the bench and everything else. Love seeing Lynn getting lots of work at first and Encarnacion doing his job at third. He's handling it well and you know, everything else is what it is. It's positive, right? So
right now, everything's positive for sure.
Yeah, so
look at the bullpen and the job it's done, and the juggling of players down there, and John Gibbons has managed to keep everybody fresh, get them all enough work, make sure they don't get too much work, and put them in the situations where they're most likely to succeed, and that's all you can really ask of a manager. And
exactly, I'm behind him 100%.
It goes to Edwin when he's in any port of in a storm mode at third base, And it just opens up another option for them, and he's been fine. And, yeah, I have zero complaints with John Gibbons this year, and I'm very happy that the fire Gibbons calls and tweets have dried up, which was expected.
Well, you know what? I was always of the belief where most of those people don't know anything about baseball, but, you know, that's my only opinion.
Well, you know what? Passion can show itself in many different ways, and one of the ways the passion is most likely to show itself on both talk radio and on Twitter is with people saying things that are really rash and ultimately quite stupid. But that's part of the fun. For some, anyway. Thank you for the call. Thanks for all the calls. Apologize to those of you to whom we could not get. We got a homebrew on the mound tomorrow. Jeff Francis from North Delta, BC, gets the start against Esmiel Rogers as the Blue Jays look to stretch their win streak to 7. And if they do, they'll be just 2 games back of 500. Jose Reyes, 2-for-3 in his rehab game today. Hopefully more of the same coming up. We'll see you tomorrow.